We need your word today more than ever. My God, we need your word today more than ever. So we try our best to navigate, Lord, through a confused, upside down, backwards, fallen, broken, dying, decaying world. We need your word, Lord, to help us keep it in, keep life in biblical perspective, Lord. We need your word to help us keep our sanity, Lord. We need your word because it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way. So we try our best to navigate, Lord, through a broken, fallen world. Speak to us now, Lord. Don't give us information. Give us revelation. Reveal things to our heart and our mind, Lord. Strengthen our hearts and mind, Lord. So we read your word this morning. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear and to discern and to live and apply your word, Lord. Bless your word and bless your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Job chapter 2, verse 10. As we finish up, I didn't even believe I said that word. As we continue, through the word. My goal this morning is to take us through a few scriptures, a few scenarios with Job, with Joshua, and with Paul, and we'll see how far we will get. And of course, Lord willing, we can continue next week, whatever we don't get through or get to today. We know that Job is in the midst of a serious trial. Joshua is getting ready to step into a trial. Paul is, his life is filled up with ups and downs of trials, of being stoned, of being shipwrecked, being bit by a viper, in and out of prison. So as we learn from their life, as we go through the midst of our trials and our ups and downs, our successes and our failures, that we can draw strength from their life and draw strength from the scriptures. So here we go. And I'm going to go over a part that I went over last week, some of it, and just kind of reinforce so we understand how to stand and how to stay connected to God in the midst of the things that we're going through. Amen. Amen. So here is Job in verse 10. He says to his wife, but he said unto her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speak. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?" We've talked about the distinction of making sure whether we sin with our lips or not, make sure we don't sin in our hearts. And then even if we do, we confess and we forsake the sin so that we might find mercy. Said Job didn't sin with his lips. And so then let's go to Joshua 1 and 5. Joshua 1. So with all that Job has gone through, how do you stay connected to God? We talked about it last week. I want to reiterate it this week. God just placed it on my heart. Family, there's a lot going on today. From week to week, it seems to just get more and more bizarre. God help us. And now we're in this thing where everybody wants to call into a school and threaten to shoot it up. We're trying to navigate through this, and hearts are broken for those families who sent their kids to school and they didn't come home. And just so much. But God said in his word that in the last days that it would be like this, perilous times, evil spirits, deceiving and seducing spirits, deceiving and being deceived. So we're in the midst of it. And how do we stay connected? How do we make sure we keep our sanity? How do we make sure that we're not the ones going crazy? So Joshua 1, let's start with Joshua 1 and 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke. I want you to underline that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, son of Nun, Moses, Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, bless you and all the people unto the land which I do give, underline, give to them, even to the children of Israel. So underline, number one, that God speaks. Even in all that we're going through right now, God speaks. Make a note, God speaks in each and every situation and circumstance. We have to make sure that we are listening, but God speaks even in the toughest times. And in the midst of death, we see that God provides life. The toughest times, God is speaking life even in the midst of death, and you have to be listening for that. So now let's go down to verse 5. God tells, this is God speaking to Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. In the midst of everything that you're going through, God said he will not fail you or he will not forsake you. Looked up the word fail in Hebrew. God says, I will not slack. I will not abandon. I will not relax. I will not sink down. I will not let you drop. I will not leave you. I will not faint. I will not be slothful. I will not be still. I will not be silent or be weak. That's what fail means. In the midst of everything that we're going through right now, individually, collectively, our mental capacity, our health, our finances, everything, God said, I will not be slack. I will not abandon you. I'm not going to relax. I'm not going to sink down. I'm not going to let you drop. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to faint when everything gets tough in your life. I'm not going to be lazy about it. I'm not going to be still, and I'm not going to be silent, and I won't be weak. So you stay connected to God. You got to believe this. And as I'm studying this, I'm trying to find out, do I really believe that? I look at my whole life. I look at my situation. I'm a very reflective pastor. I'm a very reflective person. So I'm looking at everything. I put all my cards out on the table and I'm reading the scripture and saying, wow, Lord, do I really believe that? Do I really trust you like that? I'm always challenging myself because it's hard to get up here and try and convince you if I'm not convinced. Amen. It's hard to get up here and teach this if I don't even believe it. So I put all the cards out on the table and say, Lord, I trust you. Then he said, forsake. He said, I will not fail or forsake. And forsake means to desert, to abandon, to lose, to neglect, to leave behind, or to leave alone. God said, the place I'm taking you, what you're getting ready to step into, I'm not going to desert you. I know it feels like it, but I'm not going to desert you. Although your health is failing and the bank account is low, or the bank account is high, or the door is closed, or this door is open, or the kids are acting up, or this is going on, or that's going on, or the parents are acting up, or the spouse is acting up, God is saying, I'm not going to desert you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to lose you. I'm not going to neglect you. I'm not going to leave you behind, and I'm not going to leave you alone. Amen, Lord. So we're trying to navigate daily. This is good to know. And it's even better to believe it. But he says in verse 6, but you got to be strong. Be strong and of good courage. Strong means be urgent, be firm, be brave. Oh my God, somebody say amen. Amen. Just think about your situation now. And God said, be urgent and be firm and be brave. And of good courage, it says, be bold, be alert, and be determined. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give. Underline, give. Sometimes we think it's merit-based. We talked about it this morning in the purpose and purity classes. It's going through David and Bathsheba. And that was a big mess. But then God said David was a man after his own heart. How can you be after God's heart and you cause the big mess? Because it's not merit-based. It's grace-based. And right here, God says, I'm giving you this, just like he gave his only begotten son so that we can be free. We didn't earn that. We didn't earn it. Don't think you have to earn God's love or God's favor. You have to receive it. You have to accept it, receive it, believe it, and then never forget it. God said, this is what I'm giving you all. You didn't earn it. Don't trip on that. But as you go through, I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you, but you have to be strong. Stronger than family. We need to be stronger than we ever been in 2018. Today, tomorrow, this week, we need to be stronger than we've ever been. We have to. It's just too much going on. Last Sunday evening at Maranatha, the message was, we are the light of the world. And family, and as I was even reflecting on it after the message, man, we are the light of the world. We got to be stronger than ever in this dark times. You're the light of the world. I know nobody believes that. That's okay. That's JL, throw it up on the screen. That's Matthew, was it 5 and 14? Let's see. Look, as I was reflecting on that, I'm like, are we really the light of, we are, huh? We're the light of the, in a dark world. Okay, Matthew, is that up there now? Matthew 5 and 14. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So what does that mean? That family, we need to let our light shine. As dark as this world is, that's why I said, be strong, be of good courage, because we need to be stronger than ever. We actually need to be brighter and brilliant and radiant and more lit, as the young folks would say, than ever. Puts a whole new meaning to being lit. Young folks, yes, you need to be lit at school. Yeah, you need to be lit at school. That's right. Lit for the Lord. Amen. That's another one. Right, that one. It's a whole new ministry. Lit for the Lord. You are the light of the world. And then how does that look? Because then you all are the ones that are starting a Bible school, a Bible study at school. You're the one that's starting a Bible study on your job. That's how you're the light of the world. During your lunchtime, Sam, I don't care if it's just you and two other people. You're the light of the world. You shouldn't be trying to hide. You can't hide your light. Be strong and of very good courage. That's what it means. We're the light of the world. At the gym, you should be the light. Stop being hid. Okay, here we go. But look at verse 7. God repeats it again. I mean, God wouldn't have repeated it twice if he really didn't mean it. And every time he says, like, verily, verily, I mean, surely, surely, most assuredly, truly, truly, I'm telling you this, exclamation, exclamation. With everything that's going on, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. He just told him that in verse 6. Got to tell him again, you got to be stronger than ever. And you got to be courageous as ever. You got to be urgent and you have to be alert more than ever. You have to be firm and bold and determined more than ever. Why? You're the light of the world. Write this down in case you didn't know. So, God, what is my purpose in life? Number one, you're the light of the world. You should be shining. And then you're making disciples and building the kingdom. That's what we should be doing. Now, the method you do that is different, but you should never have to guess. Young adults, Chris, as you're teaching that class, young adults, what do? You're the light of the world and you're to make disciples. Be lit for the Lord. That's it. As we go through life, I don't know what to do with my life. What do you mean you don't know what to do with your life? You're the light of the world. Let your light shine. Start a Bible study. Start inviting somebody to your house just to share the gospel with them. I don't know. Do something. Don't hide your light. We're the light of the world. He said, okay, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do, here we go, according to all the law, which is the word. We know the law is the word of God, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't go, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may progress and advance wherever you go. So make a note, we got to stay in the word. We must be fluent in the word. You know, how can you be strong if you don't have the word as your foundation? That's what God is saying. You got to be strong, but you got to be strong in the word as your foundation. The word prosper, because, you know, that's taken out of context, especially with some ministries. And they talk about it's all about getting money and this, that. That's not what that is saying. The word prosper in verse 7 means insight. So as you get into the word and you go, God has given you insight. He's given you progress. He's given you success. And it also means to teach. So as you're getting into the word, part of you prospering and progressing is that you're teaching others the word. And yeah, they missed that. I know they did. And you can only prosper if you're in the word. You can only teach the word if you're in the word. You can only get insight from the word if you study the word. Amen. Sister Kathy says, read this. So you know what? I have to read it. When we follow God's word, we move forward. When we don't follow God's word, even when we think we're moving forward, we're moving backwards. There are a lot of people deceiving and being deceived as they move backwards. Despite how we feel, despite how we look, when we are following God's word, we are moving forward and not backwards. You are going somewhere. It's just according to God's timing. You're going somewhere. You and I, we're going somewhere. As long as we stay connected to God and into his word, we are going somewhere. We're moving forward, but it's just according to God's timing. Amen. So never think that you're stuck and you're stagnant and you're not going anywhere. If you're reading the word, you are going somewhere. Verse 8 says, this book of the law, this word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. That's why it says in the word that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We live by the word. That's why it shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Underline day and night. Underline meditate. And meditate means to study and to ponder, to speak. As we said last week, to roar and even murmur. People might think you're talking to yourself, but you're meditating on God's word so you don't go off on somebody. Somebody say amen. You sitting at your desk quoting scripture so you don't have to go off on nobody. You sitting in traffic and you quoting scripture so you don't have to flip nobody off. You meditate day and night. And you know what I said? I wrote here that day and night run together. You all notice that? That is like, it's always either day or night. Did anybody else get that? I mean, that's a revelation, guys. It's either day or night. And you need to meditate day and night. So what does that mean? 24/7. It's like day and night run together. Just observe that today. All right? Wherever you are, just stop and pause. It's going to either be day or night. Amen? I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I know that it's always day or either day or night. I know that much. And meditate. We talked about that, to study, to ponder. And that you may observe to do according to all, somebody underline all, that is written therein. So look, it's conditional. You meditate on the word day and night. You pray without ceasing. You stay connected to God. You be strong. You be courageous. You understand God is not going to fail you or forsake you. And then, verse the second half of part 8, then thou shalt make your way. That's how you make your way prosperous. by being in the Word, by staying in the Word. And that word prosper means to advance, to progress, to succeed, and to be profitable. So as a condition, you can't take it out of context. You have to put your time in with God, and then you make your way with God's help. Then you're able to advance and to progress, but it's based on you and I being in the Word. And then you shall have good success, because we know that there's bad success. You see it all the time. People selling out for this, that, and the other. There's bad success and there's good success. God is speaking. He's saying good success is insight. It's wisdom. It's to act wisely. It's comprehension. And it's a teacher. So the good success is to have insight onto what's going on in my life. And then God gives me the wisdom to act wisely, to understand, and then be able to teach someone else. That's good success. And then I prosper. Then I'm able to advance and make progress and succeed according to God's standard and to be profitable. And that's not necessarily talking dollars and cents. Family, that's how we stay strong in the midst of a broken world. And then here it is, verse 9. Look what he says again. Have I not commanded you? He has to say it again. He says it again. Family, why do you think he's saying it again? Because he knows what goes on in our life from Monday to Saturday. Somebody, let's have a quick pop quiz, right? What is the easiest time to serve God? Sunday morning between what hours? 9 and 10:30. Amen. Amen. That's the easiest time to serve God. It is. Praise the Lord. How you doing? I'm great, Ivy. Praise the Lord. No struggles at all. No challenges, no struggles. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What did it say? How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Yes, I am. Easiest time to be blessed and highly favored is between 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings. But then we got to deal with the real world. Somebody say amen. Amen. And put all the plastic away and all the other kind of fake stuff away and be real. And then God says in verse 9, have I not commanded you? But you got to be strong and of good courage. You got to be strong. Three times he says it. Why? Because we have to be strong. Adam, we got to be. It's too much going on. God is telling us we got to be stronger than ever. In order to get through these last days and be the light of the world, we got to be stronger than ever. That's our calling. That's what we're in. For such a time as this, this is where we are. Anything else is just a distraction. It's a mirage. It's foolishness. We have to be strong. We have to be the light of the world. Be of good courage. Oh, I love this. Look what God says. Remember, this is God speaking. How many times did Jesus say, fear not? Many times. And here's God saying, be not afraid. And afraid is terrified or trembling. God is saying, be not afraid. And I got to read this. So I got to read it. God is speaking, be strong, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Afraid means terrified or trembling. Then it says, the doctor didn't create you. Jesus knows what's going on with you. Trust God. Jesus said, fear not a ton of times. And it says, don't be dismayed. So as we're going through, God wants us to be strong and of good courage. The enemy is trying to get us to be afraid and dismayed. Dismayed, shattered, shook, or broken. God says, don't. Why shouldn't I be, God, with so much going on? And half the stuff, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with me. I don't know what's going on with my kids, my spouse. I don't know what's going on with my job. I'm getting ready to get laid. I don't know what's going on. Say, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Why? For the Lord. And the Lord right there, Jehovah, the existing one. Like we said, the existing one, God, it goes from the existing one to God, which is the Trinity. He says the existing one and the Trinity is with you wherever you go. That's why you don't be afraid, and that's why you don't be dismayed. That's why we can be strong and of good courage wherever we go. Because the existing one and the Trinity is with us wherever we go. Somebody say amen. All right, so let's go back to Job. So Joshua was getting ready to get into the battle. Job is coming out of it or is in it, and he don't know up from down right now. He doesn't. He's dealing with a lot. And rightfully so, he's just lost everything, including his health. Let's go to Job 2:11. And we talked about it last week. We'll run right through it so we can get to hopefully Paul today. I have another read this. It says, stop allowing the enemy to distract you from living in the presence of God daily. Run to God first thing in the morning and stay in his presence all day and night. And if you are fortunate enough to wake up the next day, do it all again. Repeat the process. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Talked about Job, his three friends. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was all this misery that was come upon him, they came, every one of them from his own place. And Sister Carraway was giving me a hard time. Say, if you got three friends, you're doing good. So we got three friends, Sister Carraway, right? All we need is three good friends. Even if you got one good friend, that's better than none. But if you got three, you're doing well. Somebody say, three real friends, you're doing really well. And then you have the first one is Eliphaz. His name means my God is gold. Bildad, his name means confusing love. And then Zophar, his name means a sparrow. So you got God is gold, confusing love, and some type of sparrow coming to visit you. I don't know. I was going to try and make something fancy out of that, but I couldn't, okay? But those are his friends. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came, every one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Namathite, for they had made an appointment. We talked about it. Make an appointment to go and see people. Make an appointment to go. They went on purpose. Purposely go and visit your friends, whether they're in misery or not. Or either just send a text. We talked about it earlier with Job. Send a text. Make a call. Let people know you love them. Do it on purpose. They made an appointment to go together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. They tore their clothes, one with his mantle, and sprinkled everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads and heads towards heaven. So they really humbled themselves when they saw that Job was in really bad shape. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days. 7 nights, and none spoke a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now, I told you that was a two-sided coin because it is true. Sometimes you can say some stupid stuff when people are going through stuff. I know exactly. No, you don't know what I'm going through. Just sometimes it is best to be quiet. But then when we look at chapter 3 and 1, after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. So here's 7 days of quietness, and I'm telling you, and you all know this, because we know that Satan's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And we also know he wants to isolate, alienate, and eliminate. So when you're sitting there in your thoughts for 7 days in the toughest time of your life, Satan is playing, kicking field goals and scoring touchdowns in your head left and right. To the point where Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. They said he never cursed God. You have some scholars saying that he did. When it's so, That's a whole nother technical thing, which I'm not going to get into. If you curse the day that you were born, are you cursing, be cursing God because you say God didn't know what he was doing when he created you? I'm not going there. But where I am going is that when we see people and we have to pray, it's okay to be quiet, but then we got to speak life into them because the enemy's trying to speak death, trying to speak confusion, trying to get them to go against God. And we have to do it in love. We have to pray and say, how can I pray with you? I don't know what you're going through, but I do know that God knows and God loves you. So it can kind of deflect some of that stuff that the enemy is trying to tell them and tell you and I when we're at the toughest time in our life. How could God leave you? Look at you serve God. Where is God at now? And all this other kind of stuff that he tries to throw at us. Where the word says God will never fail us or forsake us. And so here's Job for 7 days and the enemy's having a field day in his mind. Here I have another read this. Slow down and purposely connect with your friends. Purposely connect with your friends in the good times and the bad times. We have to visit our friends because Satan wants to isolate, alienate, and eliminate. Satan will assault your mind and shake your confidence and try to turn you and I against God. We must run to God and resist the enemy. Stay in the presence of God daily. Pray without ceasing. Don't allow the enemy to interrupt your prayer life, which is your lifeline, your umbilical cord to God. Don't allow him to interrupt it. And sometimes we have to humble ourselves and be a friend, sit and be quiet. And family, when you and I are in pain and grieving, allow your friends to come over and sit with you, be quiet, and allow them to speak life into you as well. Amen. So let's just want to read some of the things and then we'll pick it up next week. I want to read Job 3. Because depression is real and discouragement is real. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But we still got to run to God's word. We have to, family. Chapter 3, verse 1. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Job spoke and said, let the day perish wherein I was born. And the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. Man, this dude done sunk way deep. Come on, man. Whew. I'm about to pass out just reading this. What is Job has lost it. I mean, I'm telling you, family, don't never isolate yourself. If you just can do God and yourself that favor. If you don't have three friends, at least try and find one. And most of you in here, you have pastor's number. You know, you can call me anytime. And it's no judgment because trust me, I have people I call as well. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But don't let the enemy take you to a place where you. And he, let me finish it off. All right. Verse 6. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. He's trying to say, just let that day when I was conceived. We just should have skipped over it. It should have never happened. Let that day disappear from the calendar. The day I was conceived, the day. Whew, that's a tough one. That's tough. Family, you need somebody you can call on in addition to God. We know God is enough. But God, even when Jesus was here, he didn't send them out by himself. He sent them out two by two. Because he knew it would be tough. And everything we have to deal with. We can't do it alone. The enemy will kick field goals in your head and score touchdowns in your head every day. Don't isolate yourself. He wants you to be isolated. He wants you to be by yourself. He never wants you in church. He never wants you fellowshipping with like-minded people. He never wants you to run to God. He never wants you to stay connected to God. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. He does not know how to play. Oh. Job has lost it, Tara. Job lost it right here. But rightfully so, he just lost everything. His friends came, they didn't say anything to him. He sat down for 7 days quietly, and the enemy just assaulted his mind and just took him places where he didn't need to go. And for you as believers, when we don't see you at church and we call you and we're just checking and we're just saying hi, receive it. Because this is what's going on. The enemy is trying to take you somewhere you don't need to go, trying to disconnect you from God. And seeing as how we are the light of the world, we got to let that light shine. We got to make that call. We got to check in with you, because that's what we've been commanded to do and to be. So don't be offended if people call you when they don't see you. Don't be offended, especially those that love you. And the enemy will try and tell you it's because of what you've done and what you're going through. But we see through the scriptures, was sharing this with the purpose and purity class I was listening, and I will wrap it up. We was listening to a radio show this morning, and the guy, the Jesus Christ show, and they were talking about movies. He said, man, if the Bible was made into a movie, it would be X-rated. I don't go to the movies. I don't want to see all that stuff. And I'm reading the Bible, and then David went on top, looked at the naked lady, called her in, slept with her, raped her, committed adultery, and then killed her husband. Wow. But I don't want to see that on the screen, but I'll read it in my Bible. So what am I saying? You feel like you're not worthy. David was a man after God's own heart. And you don't want to talk to people because they're going to know what I did. They're going to think, did you rape somebody and kill somebody and watch them bathe naked? Then you got a shot. You got a shot at being something in life. Paul was killing Christians and feeding them to the lions. I don't think you've done that. I might be wrong, but I don't think so. So why are you letting the enemy convince you to isolate yourself, and that what you've done is so horrible and God could never forgive you? So the third part of this is how to guard your mind. All right. We talked about how to stay connected to God. Now we're talking about how do you guard your mind when you are in the midst of a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and relational challenge. You know, we got to pick it up next time. Yeah, that's we're going to pick it up next time. So if we would, let's just close out. Let's bow our heads just for a few minutes. And family, in this prayer, I just really want you to, this is an examination prayer. And you got to examine your heart to see, and just kind of look at your situation and your circumstances. Because even in the midst of success, when we got it going on, we could feel, man, I don't need God now because I've made it. But even in the midst of that, we got to be strong and we got to be courageous. We are the light of the world. Do you really believe that God will not fail you or forsake you? And that the existing one and the Trinity will be with you wherever you go. So, Lord, we ask that you would just strengthen our hearts so that we can be strong and of good courage. You told us 3 times. Because we need to be in these dark and broken days. So, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. The only thing that David did that Solomon didn't do, David repented and asked for forgiveness. And he wrote Psalms 51, and proved it. A broken and contrite heart, God, forgive us. God, we're trying. We're trying our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, broken world. We're trying our best to be the light of the world, to make disciples, build your kingdom here. But we fall short. So God, forgive us and thank you for a second chance to get it right. We trust you, Lord. We're going to be strong. We're going to be of good courage. And we thank you, Lord, that you don't even remember our sins anymore. You cast them in the depths of the sea. And we thank you for that. Bless you for your word. Thank you for the challenge of your word. Help us to live it. Now, Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, my first step is accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Jesus told me I was the light of the world, but I can't be the light unless he's in me through the power of the Holy Spirit illuminating the world around me. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. And you can know for sure that you are saved and that you're filled with the Spirit and you are the light of the world. If you're here and you need to rededicate your life, that's just between you and God. Ask God to forgive you and help you do better. That's you and God. That's heart to heart, you and God. The word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're here, you've been visiting and you haven't made it official. You'd like to join from the worship to the word. You feel the presence of God and you need a place to be, a covering, a place where people actually love God and love each other. If that's you and you want to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church, elevate your hand. Lord, how we thank you, how we love you. God, you are good, as the song says. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. And we thank you for that. And we bless you for being with us this morning, for reminding us who we are in Christ. We are the light of the world. Let us stop being hid and live like it. We thank you, Lord, that we should be lit for the Lord. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Bless us as we leave this place, but not your presence. We love you, Lord. And we're so thankful for you choosing us out of darkness into your marvelous light to be the light of the world. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, hug somebody, and you are dismissed.